Well, as they are going right now, I think all of you, did you see our banner back here that's hanging? And it says October Intercessory Prayer, Take the Ground Back. And so that's what we're going to be doing coming in October. That's going to be on every Sunday night. And so, you know, every Sunday night, that's going to be the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th. And that will be here at the church, and it'll be from 5 p.m. till 6 p.m., all right? So intercessory prayer. During that month, I'll go back to the covenant exchange. I'm going to teach on that again today, and I'll go back to that periodically because I'm not really done with it. But one of the things that we're going to take up, I'm going to start teaching on, is the authority of the church. The authority of the believer, and how we must take up that authority, you know, by faith and walk after it in the Spirit. And as we do that, then God begins to move, because this is how God moves in the earth. This is how God moves in the earth. We're not to be sitting around wringing our hands like, oh, you know, we're just powerless to affect anybody. It starts in the realm of the Spirit, not in the realm of the natural. You know, and so that's what we're going to be doing, taking the ground back, okay? Taking the ground back. That may also be taking the ground back in your own life or your own concerns or in your own family, but also for our city, for Owensboro, for the lost, for the church, for believers, for our nation, and for the world. And these are the things that we're going to be doing, you know. And you may say, I don't know much about that. Well, you don't have to know much about it, okay? You know, we learn. It's good to learn. Do you think it's good to learn? Yeah, amen. It's good to learn, and we want to keep on learning. And so you come, you plan to be here, and be praying for that event. Would you do that? Would you begin to lift it up and begin to pray for it? I appreciate you doing that very much. Thank you so much. Glory to God. And this is where we see the Lord, because we're about the Lord's business. We're taking up who he says that we are, and we're walking after it. And then he comes in power. He comes in power to bring souls into the kingdom of God. That's the will of God. Anyway, I'm not going to say any more there. I want you to go, if you would, back to James. I want you to go back to James chapter 1. This is where we left off last week, and James in chapter 1, and this is the third part of the covenant exchange, in James chapter 1. I'm just going to go ahead and start reading right here. And we understand that we're in a covenant relationship with the Lord. That your salvation comes on the basis of that covenant. And that's why you find in the New Testament, when it talks about the believer, so often it refers to you and I as being heirs. We're heirs. That means that somebody has an inheritance, right? And so what we have inherited is what took place between God the Father and God the Son. And the reason that we inherit that is because Jesus came being made into our likeness. He was made into our likeness. And I'm not going to turn there, but you will find that very clearly. And I may do it at another time, that we find in Philippians chapter 2, it says very clearly that Jesus laid down his glory as the only begotten Son made in the likeness of sinful flesh. You know, so do you understand that Jesus walked by the Spirit? Do you understand that he did not walk in his deity? Do you understand that he walked by the Spirit? He was led by the Spirit. Now, he was the firstborn of a new man. And that's why the word of the Lord talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being the last Adam. And what was it about him that was different? Well, also we find in Galatians chapter 4, it says that, you know, that he was born of a woman. That means that he was clothed all with flesh and blood. But he walked by the Spirit, and the great difference was that he did not have the sin nature of Adam. You know, because he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that he was very much all of man. He was very much all of man. And, you know, we understand that that's the man that you and I have inherited in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you can receive that. I hope that you will believe upon that so that you'll understand that Jesus is not just simply an example for us to aspire to, but in the back of our mind and the back of our heart, well, we know we never can because that was Jesus. That's a wrong mindset in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that everything that Jesus accomplished and who he is, who he was, and his walk on the face of the earth and all of the victories that he gained, that I want you to understand by you being in him that all of those victories belong to you as well in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to be the man of the Spirit. When I say man, woman, and child, you are to be relying upon the covenant promises of Almighty God. We really are to live in the kingdom of God. You know, we're to live in the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is seeking to take you and to take me and to begin to lead us into the knowledge of the kingdom of God, that I am not of this world. I am no longer. I'm in the flesh, but I'm not of the flesh. You know, I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm no longer in Adam. I am now in Jesus. You know, and this becomes an enlightenment to the believer, and this is a progressive revelation and knowledge that the Holy Spirit begins to unfold in the life of the believer. And as he begins to unfold it into our eyes, then we begin to realize what our inheritance is in the Lord. We begin to say, you know, I don't have to be like that. You know, we begin to say, yes, that I have a vision of greater possibilities in my life than I ever had before. That, yes, that I can feel that way. Yes, I can be that way. Yes, I do not have to be that way anymore. You know, and then you begin to believe God because we understand, and we've seen this already in the word of the Lord in this teaching, that this covenant that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's a covenant on the basis of faith through grace. You know, this is the way that we find the covenant. We do not find the covenant and the power of the covenant by willpower and might and all and discipline and all other things of the flesh. We find it by faith. We find it by faith. And as we believe upon the Lord by what we see that we've received in the covenant, the Holy Spirit begins to implement those things in our lives by the grace of God. Now that's our walk that is before us that we have in the Lord. You know, and where it begins is that we begin to have an understanding of that enlightenment, of that revelation, and where it comes from the Word of God. Now, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but I want you to see the power of the Word for you and for me. That we see that this in James, back here in James again, and we're looking here in James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And then it says, in humility. And then it says, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. I think instead of saying receive, it says accept in the NIV. I'm going to talk about that part. excuse me, I didn't get to that last week about receiving, and that's what I prayed just a minute ago. But there's one thing I want you to see right here. Do you see that every time that we find that the Bible gives us a command, then don't we have the understanding that it's achievable? Don't we have the understanding that it's achievable, no matter how far away I may be from it, that it's achievable? And it's achievable not by my power or might, but the Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. It really comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask a question. I don't hope to get off track here, but I want to ask a question. What is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? What is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? And I want you to know that wherever you are in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that He's there to lead and guide you and teach you the way of the covenant. He will bring you into all of the ways of the covenant. He'll give you the heart. He'll give you the mind. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the want to and all. And He'll be the one that comes to clothe you in the promise of God. You know, that's why, for example, I'm making reference to it, and that is in Ephesians 1:13, the Holy Spirit's called the Holy Spirit of promise. He's the Holy Spirit of promise. Why is that? Because He will bring forth the promises. I hope that encourages you. I hope that that causes an increase in your expectation. That you will expect more in the hand of God, expect more out of your relationship with the Lord, that you will pursue the Lord, that you will involve and engage the Holy Spirit of God. And I've got a lot to say about the Holy Spirit, and haven't said much about Him just recently, but I'm going to talk about Him a little bit more here. He's the one that will teach you and show you the way. The Holy Spirit will do that. But now, He needs something to work with, okay? And you're the one that has to give Him something to work with. All right, so here we find right here, going back to that verse, that I want you to see, you know, that the word, we're to have a heart to put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. The way that the evil one works is he wants you to learn how to tolerate something. That's what he wants you to do. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants your measurement to not be the word of God. He wants your measurements to be the people around you, other believers and people that you know that go to church or whatever, or maybe they occupy the pulpit or whatever it would be. And then, you know, I tell you, the evil one uses, when you see other people walking in things, indulging in things, and being certain ways, you know, and they're a fine, upstanding Christian in the community. I'm sorry, I really hate that term, right? Because ain't none of us fine. I'm sorry, except in Jesus and just Jesus alone. You know, but we do that a lot. You know, and so, you know, we walk after this and we tolerate things because we think, well, if it's acceptable for them, then it must be acceptable for me. May I say to you, you let your guide be what the Word says. May that be your guide right here. And if you're the only one that you know that walks in it, may it be what you do. Regardless, because it's the way of the truth, it's the way of the covenant. And when you walk after the way of the covenant, that's how you're going to receive from the Lord. All right, so I'm not going to cover any more there about that, but I want you to know, lift up those things that remain of filthiness and wickedness and do not tolerate them and begin to attack them in your own walk and in your own life and say, this is not God. You know, come face to face to those things that are not of the Lord. They're holding you back. Do you understand that? They're holding you back. And God's got better for you. He's got better for you. Now, I wanted to tell you again that it'll be the Holy Spirit that will give you the power to find the victory, because He's already won the victory over all filthiness and wickedness that we've ever experienced, because He walked an obedient life and He was tempted in all things according to the Scripture. So there's no temptation that you can face that He doesn't understand, and there's no temptation that you ever face that He hasn't already faced and already won the victory. That victory belongs to you. But that victory has to be received. It has to be received. Then we go on to the second part here in this verse, and it says, receive the word, and that is the logos. You know, we've looked at that, the logos and the rhema for W-O-R-D. But notice that right here, this is the beginning place to where we walk in covenant and receive covenant promises from God. Now here it is, and it says right here, receive the word implanted And look what comes about, which is able to save your souls. That's the working of the salvation of the Lord that has been secured for you and me in body, in soul, and in spirit. You know, what God wants to do is not only change our activities, but He wants to change our mindset. He wants to change our attitude. He wants to change the inner man. In reality, you know, what a lot of times we do is that, well, if I just get that habit out, you know, and I look right on the outside, that's all well and good. That's all well and good. But the real working of the Spirit, to be the man of the Spirit, and to walk after the Spirit and the fullness of the covenant, is that God seeks to transform you and me from the inside out, in body, in soul, and in spirit. And I don't want to cover this a lot. We've talked about it before, but you know, a lot of times we excuse things because we say, well, I've always been like that. Oh, don't you love this one? This one right here, you know, this is the big catch-all of them all. Well, that's just my personality. Well, maybe your personality needs to be more Christ-like, right? You know? So, you know, we think that what? You think that He doesn't change personalities? Huh? You think He doesn't change personalities? Yes, He changes personalities. Now, let's say that you might be, you know, an A type of personality. But you understand that the refinement of the Holy Spirit is to take all of the flesh and all of the sin and the way of self out of that type A personality and just bring about the sweetness of the Lord and the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's no, yeah, you know, you still remain you. You know, you still remain you, but you look a whole lot more like Jesus, you know. You know, so a lot of people will excuse themselves and all that. And so God's Spirit keeps working on them, 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 working on them. And they don't ever let Him in. And self remains in control in that realm. And when self remains in control in that realm, then you cannot receive the power of the Holy Spirit. This is very important for us to understand. And in all of the ways of self have repercussions of destruction. All of the ways of self, because really self is just another way of saying flesh. Okay? Self is just another way of saying flesh. And it's got a lot more to do than just do's and don'ts. You know? Well, you know, that's what we turn Christianity into. No, a lot of it has to do with what's going on in the inside of you, right, as well. So I want you to know, you know, that we allow the Holy Spirit to come into every realm of our life. And the way we begin that is that we receive the Word implanted. Now, remember, I want to give you this right here going on with this word receive. That word, the Greek word, is dekomai, and that is spelled D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I, receive. And this is the definition of it. It means to receive, accept, take, taken, or took. You know, so do you understand the actions that we take toward the Word of God? I said this a lot, I'll say it again. You know, it means that we're not simply readers, but we're believers. If you remain a reader, but not a believer, then you will never see the power of the covenant that you've been brought into in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will no longer, it'll just be simply a philosophy. It will be good ideas. It'll be things that you should aspire to, that type of thing. But it'll never get past that. And there's a lot of people that receive a false peace because they think they aspire to something that's really that all God is looking for from them. And that's not true whatsoever. He's looking to make you and I like Him. You know, that we have a reflection. You know, that you're in the family. That you look like Jesus. You know, talk like Jesus. You feel like Jesus. Your attitude is like Jesus. Now, this is an ongoing work. This is an ongoing work in the power of God. But the way that it works is that we begin to receive that and we have that expectation upon ourselves. I'm going to say something harsh. Deal with your excuses. Deal with them because you're being victimized by them. You're being victimized and held back. Can I say something else that's a little more harsh? It's called deception. And don't think that you're not vulnerable to deception just because you know the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are vulnerable to deception. You know, that's why we need the Word. That's what keeps us on track. You know, and it's not that you already know that. It's that you do that, okay? You know, a lot of people are in the Word, theoretically. There's a lot of people that are in the Word, theoretically, but not maybe so much practically. So we want to change that. We want to bring into reality what we believe, or what we say we believe. Isn't that right? You know, so that's where deception comes at. That's where deception and the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the great works of the Holy Spirit is to cause us to have a self-awareness. Now, the evil one, you understand that, don't you? That when you become aware of more things about yourself, that's not a bad thing. You know, it's a good thing. Now, the devil will try to turn it around, and he wants you to be condemned over that, when the reason that you're condemned is because you're still involved in self-effort to overcome it. You have to let go of self-effort, and you see that I can't do anything to change it or to change my life, but I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the promise of God. And I believe that I have victory because Jesus has already won the victory for me. And so that's where my victory is. And I proclaim it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. This is how important receiving is to you and I. And we begin to see the activity of the Holy Spirit. And then here's what comes. The Holy Spirit, and why he's so important to your relationship, is that he brings light and understanding. And you begin to see yourself in the light and the understanding of the truth. Not in your own self-perception. Do you understand that a lot of times we see ourselves that, well, it may not altogether be the real truth, right? Because a lot of times we see ourselves one way and other people might see us a little differently, right? Okay? You know, but what happens in the power of God, so self-awareness comes. The Holy Spirit begins to make you aware. And then what he's doing is he's exposing the areas of flesh, the areas of self, And not only in the outward way, but in the inward way. And he begins to expose these things so that, one, we will repent. And number two is that we begin to believe God for better and more according to the promise of the covenant word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive. Well, I'm going to just, so here's how we receive a little bit. Let me speak on that just a little bit here. To receive or accept. This is a faith action. All right? This is a faith action. That's why faith is so important to your reading. You know, you are not in the Word theoretically. You are in the Word. All right? You are in the Word. And nobody's setting standards for you. Just get in the Word. Right? Just get into the Word. And then you read it. I read for just reading, but not much. I read, but I'm listening as I read. And who I'm looking for is the Lord. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide me. You know, I'll take sections in reading, and you know, I may spend a week that I may not get past four verses in something. You know, I'm not trying to like read the Bible in 1 year, you know, and woo, man, have I accomplished something? I read the whole Bible in 1 year, you know. You know, I've read the Bible four times through. This is falsehood. And it's rooted in spiritual pride, not in really the reality of knowing Jesus. But that's what a lot of people think that spirituality is. No, you want to find the Lord. You want to find the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't get past four verses, then glory to God, you don't get past four verses. Right? So in that reading, then we're also in receiving, we're believing. We're believing. Believe upon the Word. Believe upon the Word. Meditate upon the Word. You know, I will take something and I'll read it, and then maybe a line or two or a word or two will begin to speak to me. Well, pay attention to that. The Holy Spirit is looking to do something with that concept that comes behind that word or behind that phrase. And take time with God and let Him speak to you. Let Him move in you with what you see and what you hear and what is you're paying attention to. It's kind of grabbed you. And begin to receive it. Now, there's another portion here. So let me just read this to you. I want to speak of the attitude in which that we receive the word implanted. And this comes, just listen to this. This comes from Colossians chapter 3, and it's verse 16. And listen what it says. It says, let the word, that's logos, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now listen to this. With all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen to this. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, this is the proper, we might say, soil of the word being implanted, and to where the power of the Holy Spirit is able to work. It's me taking on the proper spirit and the proper attitude and walking in that before the Lord. Now, what's it talking about? Well, number one is that you let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. I don't think you can be in the Word too much. I don't think you can be in the Word too much. But again, what I want to emphasize to you, do you want the Lord? Do you want to see the power of God? Do you want the Lord to change things about you? Do you want to possess more of the kingdom of God? Do you want to walk in all of the fullness of the Lord? Then if you do, then we do this according to the Word of God. Let the Word of God richly dwell within you. Let the Word richly dwell within you. I certainly hope that Sunday morning is not the only time you hear the Word. Right? Now, I want to tell you, it's a war and a battle. The evil one's going to fight you tooth and nails. About the time you settle down and you say, man, I'm going to spend some time with God. You know, and you begin, I've got some things I need to pray about. I want to be in the Word. And about that time, you think of 10 things that you should have done yesterday. I can't sit here and do this, you know. I mean, I gotta get something done over here. That's one of the most simplest traps that the devil uses. And, you know, and I hope that you have victory over that trap, or that from this day forward, you will have victory over that trap right there, because he's going to use it against you as long as you'll fall for it. As long as you'll fall for it. You know, 10 things. Oh, you know, I got to get this done. There's always something else to do. Get off social media. Get off Facebook. Get off the phone. Get off. Get off. Get off. What He has for you and me is so much more. So much sweeter, so much better than any of those things. You know, and it's getting hard for Christians these days. It's getting hard for people because this becomes the work of the evil one, is to preoccupy your mind with so much, you know. And then you turn around, people turn around and say, you know, well, God doesn't ever speak to me. When can he? When can he? Let him speak to you. He has a lot to say. I hope that you can receive what I just said. He's got a lot to say to you and to me. It's a matter of coming to the place to where we can hear it. Where we can hear it. And one of the first places that we come to hear it is that we want it more than we want other stuff. More than seeing what's the latest gossip between my buddies and my friends. And, you know, let me post this and post that and this and that. And you're just all consumed in it. Oh, but, you know, it's not sin, so you're okay. I hope we got greater light and understanding than that. You know, so let the Holy Spirit enlighten you. Lighten me. It's always a way of transformation and change. It's always stepping up. It's always stepping forward in the Lord to where He has more. He has more. And what a wonderful, great, and glorious joy it is to be before the Lord and to have fellowship with Him. Let the Holy Spirit, start seeking the Holy Spirit to bring you into the fullness of Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. Associate with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Associate with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. You can talk to the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of evidence of it in the Word of the Lord. He is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the general that's in charge of the body of Christ with boots on the ground in the earth. That's the power. Jesus is seated as Lord of all at the right hand of God the Father. So we need to understand the place of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the place of the Holy Spirit in your own life. And He's the one that brings power. He brings power. He brings power inwardly. He gives you the ability. He gives you the heart to be with the Lord. He's the one that brings these things. Now, as I speak that, let me read this again to you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. With all wisdom. In other words, this is just, you've got to act upon it. All right? Richly dwell within you with all wisdom. Now listen. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns. Now, are you hearing this? With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's funny, isn't it? Huh? Psalms? Hymns? We know what hymns are, right? Okay. And then spiritual song. Wait a minute. So these spiritual songs, hymns must not be spiritual? I don't think it's talking about another category. It's talking about more. It's talking about the way of the Spirit. I believe it's talking about singing in the Spirit. That's what I mean, spiritual songs. And also can be creative songs. You know, that the Holy Spirit gives you. It's operating in the Spirit. It's operating in worship. It's operating in what? Does it say there? Thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit has been given to you and me to equip. He will equip you to walk with God. You cannot walk with the Lord through the efforts and the way of the flesh. He does it. The Holy Spirit does it. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't matter what the abuses are. Don't matter what, things that you've heard about or all that, or unfamiliar things. Get acquainted with the Holy Spirit of God. And He'll turn your prayer life, He'll turn your Bible time into a wonderful sweetness that you will want more. You will want more. Let me tell you something as I close here. And I'll have y'all come up in just a minute. Just go ahead, I guess. Go ahead. I know. Go ahead. I rethought that. Y'all come on up. But, and